T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
That was not a great transition. Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, a lot of fun again today, and we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening on this Tuesday.
Yes, very kind of you, and our thanks to our executive producer. His name is Dustin Rhodes.
I don't believe I've ever spoken to him, but I don't know him. I had never had a conversation that I remember with him.
Yes, we deny him extensively. And how about our guy, Kevin Zipak? He's our maven of sound.
I don't know him at all. Don't know what he's about. Don't know where he comes from. Know nothing about him. I don't know him.
And Ray, you are a glorious and wondrous human, and thank you for all of your contribution. Thank you, Ray.
I don't need the help of a man that I never met before. I don't even know who this man is.
Fauci? And speaking of people we've never met before, we're delighted to welcome in the Tony Fauci of Donald Trump's world.
He's foistered.
Morning, Dan.
Hi,
Hello,
Dan.
Boys. How are you?
Oh, you kidding. This is it, buddy. Fun. This is what it's all about. We got the Bears 5-1. We can talk about things without upsetting anyone because it's fun to do. And we've got the World Series starting. And I was telling David, I don't know where you're at, but after our teams were eliminated, I was affected by that. And I was kind of down on the season. But now I'm fired up. I'm looking forward to it. I think it was the both of these series that led to this. The ALDS and the ALCS and the NLCS has me fired up for the World Series. It's a good
You have time. A rooting interest, or you're just enjoying baseball?
You know, I think I'm enjoying baseball. If I had to pick a rooting interest, I'm picking the Dodgers to win, but if I'm kind of an American League guy, and I really love the idea of kind of the little engine that could of what they've managed to do in Tampa and the way they handled the Yankees and then did all that is right in the world by beating the Astros. And there's part of me that loves this kind of dichotomy of payroll story, and I'm kind of cheering for Tampa.
Yeah. I'm kind of going for the Dodgers. 32 years, it's not that long in the context of, like, droughts here, as we know here in Chicago, but long enough. I want the Dodgers. I want Kershaw to get a World Series just so we can kind of close the loop on that conversation. I understand the numbers and I understand all those things, but he's too great of a pitcher to have his career kind of stained by that a little bit, so I just hope it's the Dodgers.
I'm with you. I do think that there is sort of a sense of justice when an all-time great player can erase some of these postseason bugaboos that really, for the most part, are just a sample size hiccup. And for me, that also extends to some of this, the bizarre conversation surrounding Dave Roberts. You know, at the end of last week, when I was hosting Lawrence's show with Cole Wright, and Cole Wright was saying that had they not won that game, had they not gotten to the World Series, it's possible we're talking about Dave Roberts as the White Sox manager just because he would be scapegoated for their underachievement with all of these division winners and all of these good teams, which I think is preposterous. Because you put yourself in these positions. I don't think that they were being held back because of any managerial issue.
But you could understand that, though. If they would have failed to get to the World Series with this team and given their history in the World Series, the speculation was there for a reason. You wonder, they would have to change something, so the manager is just the easiest fix.
I know, but that's baby with the bathwater stuff. I mean, unless you could say it was his fault – unless you could really tie it and say the only thing holding us back is this guy making all of these decisions that are so correct for so long and giving them all of these opportunities.
What about his game seven starter? Yeah, game seven starter.
Some of that to me over time just it feels unjust when the number of other teams would say, we would trade our manager out for Dave Roberts in a heartbeat. So I'm rooting for him because I'd like him to put some of that stuff to rest too, because it's when you had something we saw it with Joe Maddon. We saw it like openly in a game seven of a World Series thinking, what's going on here? Who's coming out where? What's this lineup? What's that? And there was an understanding over time. But I don't necessarily think that there is the idea of just showing somebody a head for justice, just chopping off a head just because it makes you feel better is fair.
Is it wrong that as a lifelong underdog, I despise you front runners right now?
Who's a front runner?
I don't know.
You Dodger Laker fans. Oh. That's who.
Oh, yeah. I'm Mr. LA.
I'm worried the LA Times is going to break up our show, David.
Well, Hollywood Vaughn strikes again.
Yeah, LA is my lady.
I was a Laker fan because I'm just such a big LeBron fan. But truth be told, that people
I was talking
age,
about David. I don't know who you like.
No, I will say this, that growing up, when most of Chicago teams were generally a postseason afterthought, I loved the Yankees and Dodgers because of the star power and because of the drama, because it was always that, the covers mm-hmm. of Sports Illustrated that mm-hmm. felt so important when they arrived. And just for me growing up, the look of the Dodgers and those and the iconic yeah. uniforms, and like, has anybody ever looked better in a uniform than Dusty Baker in Dodger blue? I'm serious. No, like dark-skinned players in Dodger home uniforms, whether it's Yasiel Puig or I love, like, those baseball
cards,
Dan, just looked so cool.
Steve Garvey, they look pretty handsome in that Dodger blue.
No, the brothers always look cooler. There was just something about the way that and then it was really fun for me in college because the Duke uniform is the Dodger. It's identical to the Dodger uniform, except it's even with the red number and everything else, it's identical. And putting that on senior year was fun, and saying, oh, this is, I don't look Dusty Baker cool, but it's still fun.
So growing up with everything handed to you, you started falling in love with teams that had everything handed to them, is what I heard. That's what
kind of. And, it's further than that, actually, because I'm a shirt tail relative of Al Rosen. And he was my grandfather's second wife was related to him, and he was president of the Yankees at the time. So he sent me all sorts of awesome Yankee stuff. Like, they'd make the playoffs, and I would get these packages with autographed programs. I've got a ball autographed by all of the 77 Yankees, including, or 78 Yankees, including their coaches, including Bob Lemon and Yogi Berra and all that. I have no idea what that ball's worth, but probably a lot. But I got into it because I felt that sort of that shirt tail family connection.
That's kind of how I got into the White Sox. My dad, when I was a kid, Ernie Banks spit out some gum, and my dad brought it home to me, so I became a Sox fan.
I had an Ernie Banks autograph too, because I think I forgot who it was, my uncle or somebody saw Ernie Banks.
You related
Banks
to the Cubs brass too?
No, on my autograph wall. I had a personalized Ernie Banks autograph. Was
his
one of
autograph
my
wall.
Ernie Banks, Muhammad Ali.
In small town Indiana, we used to stand on the roof with a TV antenna for a coat hanger and hope that we got Channel 9 on good days. So we
on the south
Cubs.
Side, we had a creditor's wall where all of the slips that we got demanding various payment we put up.
The thing about WGN is it didn't, even if you were in Chicago, even in Deerfield, GN had a double image. Like, you would watch, and you'd have two shortstops and two second basemen and two center fielders, because it was just, you couldn't do anything about the double image on WGN.
Oh, I thought that was just us.
No, it was bad.
All those years.
No, I remember when my first friend got
this is old school baseball,
and I said, "Wait a second, and if you watch the White Sox on UHF, it was just sort of hazy. You didn't have the double image
on 44.
Yeah, you had a bunch of
hard. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, that was even harder than understanding what Harry was saying.
I'm not saying that we grew up poor, but it is an actual fact of my life that I remember. When my dad's cousin Jackie Quinn came over with a colored TV set because he won it in a bar raffle, and we were watching black and white. That was like in the mid-70s, okay?
Mm-hmm. What the heck of a bar raffle? Wow.
It wasn't that good at TV.
Well, don't you remember, there for a while, there were like these overlays. They had these weird plastic overlays to like give black and white TVs the illusion of color. It was like it was a cover that you just kind of sort of snap on. It was a total scam. It was like buying those like X-ray specs and in the comic books. You know, like it is, and I don't, people thought it was like, well, it's color-ish. It just sort of gave things sort of a weird tint that would sort of glow. Like, oh, I don't know, is this really better? No.
And all seven games are on Fox, right? We don't have to go to like TBS or TNT or wherever, or trying to hop around to station. It's all on Fox, correct?
And you know what? Truth be told, yesterday, those 4 o'clock sports starts, those are awesome.
Those are great.
Those are so good.
Can we do the Bears Monday afternoon football next Monday?
That'd be much better. Which is why noon starts for the Bears are great. But and if you could start some of these World Series games at 5 o'clock our time, how awesome. It's just perfect.
Totally agree. You'll never get an argument from me on that.
Well, the guys who do morning radio, no. I mean, that would be obvious. But just having all of that football, and the second game was just horse crap. Mike.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
Mike McCarthy.
It was really bad. And McCarthy looks lost, and Ezekiel Elliott looks lost. And what happened to that team? I know they've had injuries. But after last night, I think somebody's saying Dak Prescott will get MVP votes after last night.
I love it. Look, if you're Jerry Jones and you're richer than everybody and you're smarter than everybody and you play by your own rules and you hire that big dope, go ahead. To see America's team just sucking out loud is pleasure.
The word called grace. Grace.
Yeah, I'll take joy out of that.
We had a lot of fun. We were talking about, I was saying to David that as I was watching Arizona, I couldn't help but think about the Architectural Digest version of Cliff Kingsbury.
Right.
And then when I remembered that, I thought about Matt Nagy and how he was sitting in his basement around the card table or whatever with all of his wallpapered play sheets. And again, that means he's never going to give up play calling. Every play is sacred. But Jerry Jones had the most futuristic setup. Do you remember that? He was on his $250 million yacht, which has a pool on it. Explain that one. But do you remember Jerry sitting laughing hysterically at his on his yacht? That was extraordinary.
Yeah, that looked like Dr. Dre's yacht or Tiger Woods' yacht. That's pretty special. That's when you know you've done okay, probably. When you got that thing, how many crew, like full time crew, do you think has to man that?
30 or thereabouts?
No, they just in. They will just sail into some port and hire a bunch of guys,
like go to a pirate bar. They head down to the grotto and they recruit a bunch of people for that day.
Our mighty vessel has just landed into our quiet port town.
Yeah.
The guy, one-eared Steve, I got a job for ye.
The peg-leg guy with the parrot on his shoulder is going to cook again.
Hey, Carnassio, run it. You get to meet some new and interesting people.
I was in Panama one time, and I went to a place called the Balboa Yacht Club. And it was like this, it was the weirdest place ever. It was like a bunch of guys that were kind of jumping on and off boats. So it was like this scary, kind of dangerous place. And it was exactly what you just described, a place where you would get like a bunch of pirates to man your ship. It was pretty cool.
Like actual seafaring people who have lived the life of the high seas, right?
Who are
hold on. When I was in Panama once, what were you doing in Panama? And how many times have you been there?
My brother was working in Panama, so I've been to Panama 3 times in my life. And one of the great places was the Balboa Yacht Club, where as you went up, Operation Just Cause had happened fairly recently, and you could see bullet holes in the wall of the Balboa Yacht Club.
Oh, wow.
Either that or there was a fight the week before. But it was it was fascinating. It was very cool.
That's like reading Hemingway. This is fun stuff. A life well lived. That's you're getting like code word clearance stuff on some of these trips. Like it's one thing to have a busman's holiday when you're going with like somebody to a convention or something like that. But if you're talking, you know, like deep state kind of stuff, hey bro, come along with me. This is going to be fun. It ends up being like what is it? Peter Falk and Alan Arkin and the In-Laws.
Pack your Kevlar.
Serpentine shell.
That's one of the funniest. That is one of the greatest movies ever.
Also, a movie that should never have been remade. And that's
no, I agree. You know, yeah, Michael Douglas and someone else.
Yeah, somebody said it the other day, and I forgot who on Twitter. I might have been one of the old Deadspinners, now the Defector guys. Might have been Drew McGarry, I think, who said there should be an appointed grand jury to determine whether or not a movie gets to be remade. Just an independent group that says thumbs up, thumbs down. We need this or we don't need it, because so many movie remakes, you just think, why are we bothering here?
You want to put a grand jury together for that?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see the remake of Brian's Song, but I've got to imagine that is number one on the list, right? I mean,
longest
think about
yard.
Jimmy Kahn and
the Adam Sandler longest
yeah.
yard.
Oh, yeah.
Come
He's
on.
He's no Burt Reynolds. Come on.
Right. And I know he tried to do right by everybody by having homage and including some people in that.
Burt.
But, yeah. I mean, what a. And here's the thing, too. If you haven't seen the original recently, the football is great.
Some remakes are better than the first ones.
Name one.
Some remake.
Star is Born.
David. Yeah, Star is Born.
Yep.
Gaga. Bradley Cooper.
How many Stars Born are you rating it on? There were like five or six of them, right?
This is the best one yet.
The latest and the greatest. Yeah.
Well, you know I'm a big Judy Garland fan. I got a hard time accepting that.
Well, then it was Kris Kristofferson and Streisand, right?
Well, who was James Mason, who comes from my father's hometown? Haven't I discussed that?
Boo.
Wasn't he in Star is Born?
Boo.
In the original, was it?
It's James Mason. And
Gaga.
James Mason.
Come on, Lady Gaga. Enough said. Bradley Cooper.
She broke up that guy's marriage or his girlfriend or whatever the hell it was.
I thought that wasn't true.
I don't think it was. It was just a joke. I was just throwing something at the wall.
It was also Russian propaganda brought to us by Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, boy.
I know what you have today. You have Doc Emrick. Oh, my God,
yeah.
Dan.
That's
we are jealous.
Really,
will you ask him
forward
to do a promo for our show? Just ask.
Jay Zawoski procured me a copy of his book, Off Mic, How a Kid from Basketball Crazy Indiana Became America's NHL Voice. And David, you'd get a big kick out of this because of how much time he spends talking about Indiana basketball and small town Indiana life and the power of basketball culture and some of these radio stations and TV stations and his time at Butler. It's very much grounded in his Indiana roots. And
he's a great guy. And that's very important to him, and he spent a lot of time in the state doing that's how he grew up, Indiana basketball fan. I can't wait for that. Was that 940,
and he spends a lot of time talking about the Fort Wayne Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, where he saw Fort Wayne Comets games, and that was really his entree to the world of hockey. And I love that building. I've called basketball games in there, and just that old barn has had just so much history in it, and it was great for basketball. I can only imagine how it was for hockey. But we're going to talk a lot about his decision to retire and what this last decade of calling a lot of significant Blackhawks historical games have meant to him, his relationship with the Chicago audience. That's all on the table, because you're right. He's a sweetheart of a guy and a genuinely legendary play-by-playman. Maybe arguably the most skilled sports television play-by-playman ever. That's a very reasonable argument. Craig Calcaterra is going to talk baseball with us at 10:20. We'll do the midday midway today. Sage Rosenfels breaks down the X's and O's of Bears quarterbacking at 11. And then Paul Charchian, you can only imagine doing what he does, having to do fantasy football this year in the year of COVID and postponements and cancellations and guys put on COVID lists. I don't know when he sleeps, but he's going to optimize the fantasy waiver wire at 11:20.
Have a good
All
show.
All right, buddy. Have a great
Thanks,
one.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.